The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
On this day last week, we had about 10,000 people or so show up in our state's capital to express their thoughts on education reform. Many of these teachers, they wanted to talk to the South Carolina legislature, members of the legislature, to let them know their thoughts on our schools. I shared with you a letter last week from Horry County Senator Greg Hembree. He had written to his colleagues, and the teachers who went to Columbia, they didn't get to see Senator Hembree last week because he was back home in Horry County teaching a class at Myrtle Beach Middle School so that the teacher from that class could go to Columbia, I guess. Greg Hembree represents Senate District 28 in Horry County and is chairman of the Senate Education Committee. He's been in the middle of our effort to reform education in South Carolina. Join me on the 94.5 The Answer guest line for a few minutes. Senator Hembree, welcome in.
Hey, Joey. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. Thanks for spending a few minutes. I know you guys are busy trying to wrap things up.
We are in
Columbia. This time last week, Senator, educators sort of stormed our state capitol.
Well, they did. We had a pretty big rally outside. They didn't really, it's interesting, they didn't really come by the state, you know, to see us very much. It felt like more of a rally for them as opposed to other times when teachers have come to visit. I've spoken to, I guess, over 100 teachers this year. You know, I've had a lot of visits by teachers in the office and, you know, here at the State House. But I think it was more of a rally, kind of a labor rally, you know, yeah, to show their strength.
Yeah, I saw a comment that you had made to ABC 15 News in your hometown area down there where you pretty much said that it was like a labor rally, and I agree with you. I kept saying that teachers were playing hooky, and I had some of my listeners take me to task on that because they didn't think I was being unfair with the teachers. But, you know, this late in the school year, I just thought it was a bad time for them to be coming to Columbia, staying out of class, when they had many opportunities, and you pointed this out in your letter to your colleagues, they had many opportunities to have spoken, to have talked with you guys prior to last week.
Well, that was my feeling. I mean, it's late in the semester. It's a critical time during the academic year, and it's just not, you know, it's doing something for the grown-ups and not really doing much for the kids, which is my focus, I view all of these things through putting the students first. You know, the teachers have several different lobbyists up here. The superintendents have lobbyists up here. The school boards have lobbyists up here. I mean, they have got advocates for all these subgroups. The only group that really isn't represented, ironically, are the students, yeah, and their parents, for that matter. Yeah. So I sort of take the position that it's my role to look out for the students first. Although the teachers are part of that, you know, you want to look after, you want to be fair with your teachers. You want to get them prepared to do the job. You want to pay them a decent salary. And thankfully we're doing that. You know, that's the thing that was so strange. I mean, it left me sort of scratching my head, and I've said this many times. It's not as if we have, you know, they keep saying, you're not hearing us. So actually we have, and we've taken action in response to the teachers' requests.
Sure.
And they still march on the State House, you know, and they still say they're not happy, and they still, you know, sort of have all this passion and emotion about their horrible, you know, kind of this awful situation that they're in. It's quite a long list of the things that we have undertaken with teachers in mind this year, including the biggest pay raise, the biggest single pay raise since the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
And then you still get that response. It makes it, well, it kind of leaves you just going, well, you know, I don't, I, you know, what, you know, we're doing what you want. What do you want? You
sure.
Know? So,
right. Well, I think teachers should be heard as well. Yeah. I just thought the timing was poor, and you know, I had a number that of teachers who were corresponding with me either via text message or emails and all, and I'd always go back to the question: well, have you talked with your state representative? Have you talked to your state senator? And often or not, they hadn't made that phone call or that email. And so that was my only thing, was I just thought that it was bad that we had schools that literally closed last week so that teachers could come to Columbia. I want them to be heard, and they should be heard. And I know you guys will listen to them. And you obviously listen to them. You know, Governor McMaster made it very clear in his State of the State this year that education was priority number one, that this was the year that we're going to get something done. Now, you sort of took a different approach. You stayed home, and you went to Myrtle Beach Middle School, and I want to play something that you said to ABC 15 News real quick.
Sure.
I thought it would be a great opportunity for me to walk around a little bit in a teacher's shoes, to learn from that experience, to help me do a better job in serving in the Senate, and particularly as education chairman of the Senate Education.
So, Senator, tell us, how was that experience? Did you learn something being in that classroom that day?
Oh, it was terrific. Well, I know this. Middle schoolers, I chose middle school. I had I had about six different places that I could have picked, and I picked middle school because I used to teach middle school Sunday school at my church because nobody else wanted to do it. And middle schoolers are still middle schoolers. they're great.
Oh yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned a couple things. I learned that Chromebooks are just about indestructible. That was one thing that I learned. those things are military grade. I mean, they're impressive.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, it was ironic. My day was spent teaching a review for a state mandated test that I'm trying to eliminate from a state that eliminate right. by statute, you know, written in the reform bill. It was kind of funny. I'm like, if I'd have finished up that work, we wouldn't even have to be here. But it's a hard job. But a lot of the complaints. The teachers were great. The faculty was great. I spent a lot of time with them. But a lot of the complaints are local problems. They are local school district, manpower problems, management problems, leadership problems. I actually heard this from some of the colleagues that I've met along the way. You know, you hear what they're talking about. And it's things that we really can't fix in Columbia. I mean,
right.
These are things that are back at home kind of problems. And you know, I get it. I mean, I don't say that those problems are not real, but it's not appropriate. I mean, unless you want Columbia to come to Spartanburg and manage every single classroom in Spartanburg, and I will assure you, you don't want us doing that. That is not a good model. And, they want freedom on the one side, but then if the freedom doesn't work out, they want somebody else to control. It's a whole lot more about getting good leadership and great teachers, good leadership in the districts and great teachers in the classrooms. If we can, that's where we need to spend our time and energy. That's going to be the answer. It's not going to be some, I'm committed to the reforms that we're working on. They're good. So there's some good things in there, but at the end of the day, we're nibbling around the edges. It is not going to profoundly change education in South Carolina. If we pass every single thing that we are talking about right now, it will not, it'll move the needle a little. There's some governance reforms that I think could really help. But most of it is adjustments to current law. So, it's not that I'm frustrated or not, I'm continuing to be optimistic. It's just, I'm just realistic also. And I'm looking at this and saying, this is going to have to be fixed back home, or you've got to take that district. I mean, the state has to take that district over and kick the leadership out and start from scratch, because
sure.
That's really, you don't have a whole lot of choices. I mean, what are your choices?
Right.
And it's not a money problem. This notion or this narrative that South Carolina is doing education on the cheap is just absolutely not accurate with per pupil revenue. When you compare it to income in South Carolina, we rank ninth in the country. so, you know, we're, I mean, for, that's, I mean, that's kind of stunning. And, you know, yet our outcomes, our inputs from the state level are very robust. Our outcomes in many districts are very poor. Not in all districts. We got some districts that are killing it. They're doing great. Lots of teachers are, we've got a lot of great teachers out there. We got a lot of great leadership, but we got places that don't. And that's the conundrum.
Sure. Yeah. With me today, Senator Greg Hembree, chairman of the Senate Education Committee. Senator, we got about 2 minutes left here. Let's go back on that funding though, because I got a couple of emails, from teachers, and there's this misconception, I think, of the funding, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there, if you will, when you said a lot of this, I guess, has to be solved back at the local level or local school boards. But I think there's this confusion about funding. In this particular email, it said, "I'd love for you to ask a legislator about how school funding is conducted." And he talks about the base student cost is set by law, and that you guys, I think he has the impression you guys give the local board certain criteria for funding, but you're not providing the funding. And I know that the state provides some and the local provides some. In simple terms, tell us about funding. How does that work?
The state provides about 48% of the funding to the local schools. The federal government provides about 10%. And then the local district provides the rest. So it's not a simple funding model, but it is, you know, sort of got three legs to the stool. Much of the federal money is designated for certain things, so the local districts don't have complete flexibility. They don't have flexibility with the whole amount of federal money. The local money that they put in, they've got flexibility. I mean, that's their money. They can spend it however they choose. The state money has, there's the base student cost is unrestricted money. Then there are other pots of money that are restricted. So the complaint that we've heard from the districts is that they would like more flexibility with their state money. I believe I think that's a great suggestion. I think they need flexibility because what we've done is we've added programs, we've added, you know, requirements to local districts over the years. And when we do that, we add a line in the budget that says, okay, we're going to put in school resource officers. And then you put in this line in the budget. Well, that's restricted money. Oh, they might not need, you know, they might have three schools, but they might not need three school resource officers. They might need only one or two to cover that. You know, let's say that all three schools are on the same campus and they can, you know, they might not need all that. So I'm all about reworking the funding formula to make it more flexible.
Yep. Senator Hembree, thank you again for your time this morning. And I know you got to get to work. You got to wrap things up down there, but I appreciate what you do.
Thanks very much, Joey. Sure, good talking to you.
Same here. Have a wonderful day. State Senator Greg Hembree, chairman of the Senate Education Committee, as they go back to work trying to get things finished up for this year. And still a lot to do. Still a lot to do. We'll get back to your phone calls and your comments on the Big Rock text line. 877-235-9405.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.